got a cheering crew, man. What is that?
Wow, that was unexpected. I'm glad to be with you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for the invitation to be a part of Momentum again. I'm going to steal this back here real quick. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Will. I appreciate that. I'd like you to thank two sets of people real quick before we get into the Bible. The first group of people, I'd like you to give just a rousing thank you by show of applause to all of our pastors. Would you let them know we appreciate them? So appreciate these men. Thank you for your service to us as people of your churches. So appreciate that. I want to give honor to my pastors at Grace. Thank you so much for what you do to make our spiritual life so good. I'm so grateful for that. The second group I'd like you to give thanks to is all of the people, and they're not going to be able to, like, you're not going to be able to see all of them because some of them are doing stuff even as we speak, but all of the people that make, from the behind the scenes, that make Momentum possible. There's so many people that are a part of that group. Would you give them a great, great ovation? Something like this obviously goes into a lot of hard work by so, so many people, and I'm just so privileged to be among such wonderful women and men. And thank you, young people, for being a part of this. Thank you for making an effort to come. Thank you, parents, for allowing your kids to come. If you're here, obviously, thank you for coming. And we're just so grateful to be together. I'm really, really grateful to be at Momentum. My family is especially blessed to be at Momentum this year because my wife, Brenda, is here for the first time at Momentum. Would you give Brenda a big hand? I love Brenda. She is definitely my better half. She's a better Christian than I am, and I just love her very, very much. We will be married next month, 29 years. That's a lot of time. That means that I'm old is what that means, so I'd like you to take a device or the Bible, if you have it. It's going to be on the screen as well. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 with me, please. Philippians 4. Already this weekend, it's been said by Christy and others, and Chuck and others, that there are things that have happened already this weekend and will continue to happen tonight and even tomorrow as we wrap up, that are going to be things that you're going to carry with you the rest of your life. And that's not like an overstatement that someone says behind a podium. I really do believe that. The reason I believe that is because, and I think I mentioned it last year, as a 13-year-old boy in 19-something, I became a Christian at a youth conference just like this. And now it's carried me all the way through my life, all these years later, and so I just praise God for what he's doing among us. And I want you just to hold on to that when you go back home and you get back into the real life that you have. I'd like you to hold on to that. Carry it very carefully. You'll need it later on in life, and God's going to use it for his glory. I really do believe that. Philippians chapter 4, we'll begin reading with verse number 1. The Bible says in that first verse of Philippians 4, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Verse 5, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Verse 8, "Finally, brothers," and that's also brothers and sisters, "whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you've revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Now that not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Verse 14, our final one. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. Go ahead and set your device down or the Bible down next to you, and let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our next few minutes, okay? Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the privilege of opening up the Bible tonight. We are so grateful that we can be a part of a conference that makes that a priority, and it comes alive to us in a fresh way as young people and as adults, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have enabled and illuminated people to write down the words that we're talking about, and now you're going to illuminate our hearts. We're asking you to do that. I pray, God, the pages would just be put deep within us, the words that you've spoken through the writings that we're reading from, they would just go deep in our heart, that we would be changed because of interaction with the Bible, Lord, tonight. Thank you for that. Let every heart here be touched right where we are, Lord, and let every heart be pointed toward Jesus. We pray in your name. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I remember being a freshman in high school. Are there any freshmen in high school here tonight? Would you just raise your hand real high? Freshmen. I was your age, and when I remember this occurring to me, I was a freshman at Homewood Flossmoor High School in Chicago, and I, as a freshman, was like most freshman guys. Now, I know it's hard to believe, but I was always, or at that time rather, I was a little bit short for my age, and I was concerned about that going into high school because I was afraid, you know, people would make fun of me or bully me or whatever. It didn't work out that way. They were very kind to me, and we got on along good. I have a twin brother, looks just like me. He's not quite as tall as I am. I'm actually much taller than him. And so we, like, got along with most people, and we had a good freshman year. But I remember about halfway through my freshman year at Homewood Flossmoor High School in Chicago, I always ate the same lunch period the entire year. And when I came into the lunchroom every day, I would choose a seat in this corner. If you can imagine a rectangle and then coming down here, and this was my long table here, and I sat on the outside of this long table, right? But it was a strategic seat. It wasn't just, oh, I just pick a seat. No, I chose that strategically because as I sat there eating my sandwich or whatever I was eating for the day, I could look all the way to the other corner of the lunchroom and see Leah. It was a straight shot. No tables in between me and her, just me, Todd, and Leah. See, halfway through my freshman year, I decided that females were interesting. And so one in particular caught my attention. Her name was Leah, and Leah and I ate the same lunch period every single day. And so I sat down at the same seat every single day, looking unimpeded across the lunchroom, and I watched Leah eating her lunch. And so I decided one day that I was going to let Leah know of my thoughts about her. And so, as a freshman in high school, I decided the best way to do that was to send her a text message. And so, well, let me back up. It was a paper text message. We didn't have pocket phones and all that mess. So I got a piece of paper, you know, the spiral kind you pull out and it has all the frilly stuff on the side. And I got my number two pencil and I took it and I wrote a note that was going to go to Leah across the lunchroom. And I forgot to tell you, I was a stud. And so What I'm about to say comes naturally. I'm just kidding. And I wrote down this note. It went like this. I still remember what I wrote. I said, "Hi, Leah. I like you." I told you, I was a stud. And I like you. Do you like me? You might as well just get right to the point, right? And then I wrote on the bottom of that note, after I said that, I wrote, "Yes." Right? "No." Or maybe. And I got finished, and I signed it Todd, and I folded up into a football, because that's what you did back then, and I got the football note, and I did what any confident 14-year-old freshman in high school would do with the note to give to Leah. I gave it to Leah's friend to give it to Leah. So she came down, and she just happened to be passing by. I said, "Hey," and I called her by name, and I handed her the note. I said, "Give this to Leah." She said, "That Leah? What other Leah is there?" "Yes, that Leah." And so she went all the way around the lunchroom, and I'm eating. And she walked by Leah, and she just tossed it on the lunch table, and Leah looked at it. And I'm watching this whole thing go by. And I watched Leah take the note, and she undid the note. She began to read it. And then she set it down on the table. And I thought to myself, this isn't good. This isn't good. But then, moments later, I saw her pick the paper back up, reach into her backpack and grab a pen or pencil. And she back into the football. And her friend was nearby, and she said, she just handed the note to the friend. And the friend walked all the way back here. And she said, "Here." And she just threw the note on the table. And with trembling hands, I took the note. And I undid the football note. And I looked at it. And it said, "Hi, Leah. I like you. Do you like me?" And then I noticed what box she had checked. And she had checked the box that said, "Maybe." Now, okay, let me explain something. I admittedly, I mean this from my heart, I'm not making this up. Admittedly, I was disappointed. And here's why. "Yes" is like Shazam. Me Tarzan, you Jane. You know, that's a yes. "No." Oh, that's a bummer. On to someone else. But maybe, like, what does that even mean? Are we leaning toward the no maybe or the yes maybe? And the rest of the year, Chuck, I struggled not knowing what maybe meant. And it was tough. I'd go to the lunchroom day after day after day, watch her eat her sandwich and think, maybe? Really? Maybe? The fact of the matter is, it left me with many, many more questions than a simple yes or no would have given. It was less than satisfying. Let me ask you a question. This is a real honest question. I'd like you to think about this. You don't have to answer out loud. But have you ever in your life had questions that just kind of stick in your brain like Velcro? and you wonder like the answer to those, and it's tough, and you try to kind of hypothesize what is the right answer to it, but you just never get to the point of having a definitive answer to some very, very important questions in your life. I know I'm not the only one that's ever happened to. I know all of us, no doubt, at some level in our experience as young people, or even adults would say too, right? There are questions we have. We struggle through not knowing, is it really this way or is it this way? Let me ask a different question. Have any of you struggled through questions that have been in your mind a long, long time and there's not been resolution to that? And if we're honest, sometimes it can start to weigh us down. It may be a question about family or relationships or school or how you're getting along with other peers or any kind of thing you're walking through as a young person, as a teenager, as a young adult. I'm convinced tonight and so grateful that the Bible doesn't just give us words that kind of float above our life experience. But I want to suggest to us tonight at Momentum this evening that God has given us the Word of God to speak to our lives where we are. The 21st century, yes, that's what we live in. But the same Bible that we read from the first century, what we just read, speaks all the way through history to where we are today. And God understands the questions that we have. Now, in order to understand Philippians chapter 4, if you still have that open next to you or your device handy, the Apostle Paul is the one that's writing and he's speaking to believers. These are Christians in a city called Philippi. It's why they call them Philippians, the letter to the Philippian church. And to understand before we get to Philippians chapter 4, not only is it important to understand who's writing, the Apostle Paul, and not just to whom he's writing, the Philippians, but also to understand where he's writing this from. If you look back, page back, or tap back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, this is the same writer, Paul, at the very beginning of the letter, he says this, "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me," key word, key phrase, "has really served to advance the gospel." Keep reading, verse 13. So that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Get the picture? Apostle Paul writing to the Philippians while he's sitting imprisoned in jail. Now, jump forward to chapter 3. Verse 20, he reminds those same Philippians who now know he's in jail of this fact. Verse 20 of chapter 3. "But our citizenship," he says, "is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." In other words, we're waiting for something to come in the future, and we're waiting for something to happen. It's not happened yet, but Paul wants his readers to understand and his listeners to understand that our citizenship is not just the here and now. But there's a greater place that one day we will be there. Finally, we get to verse 1 of chapter 4. "Therefore, because of that citizenship, because of that hope, because of that future, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord." Here's the first point I want you to grab a hold of with your heart today. When you're going through stuff, and you have a ton of questions, stand on what you know. I'm going to say that again, not for you to hoop and holler, but for you to really grab it with your heart. If you have a ton of questions, and you're really wrestling through it, and you're wondering what's up and what's down and what's left and what's right, if that's you, stand on what you do know. Here's what I do know. God is good. That'd be a great place for an amen right there. Amen. I know this. Our citizenship is not here. One day it's going to be in heaven.
I know that. The Bible is very clear about that. So if I have questions, it's natural to want to know what the answers are to those questions. But as you wait for that as a young person, as I wait for that as a middle-aged guy, my job is to stand on what I know. The Apostle Paul was appealing to Christians to avoid focusing on the unknown, because what does that cause? Anxiety. Again, don't answer out loud, but have you ever struggled with anxiety because you don't know the answers to the questions that mean so much to you? If that's you tonight, I want to encourage you, stand on what you do know. Believe what you're taught. Stand on the word God has given you. There's ultimately, Apostle would say, we're going to be a part of something greater than just the here and now, just the present. One day, everything's going to be changed. One day, we're going to be resurrected. And until that happens, stand firm. Stand firm. Now, when he said stand firm, he didn't just say stand firm. He caught it this way. He coded it this way. Stand firm, here it is, in the Lord. Because I can try to stand firm on my own, but how many of you know that only goes so far, right? We can try our hardest to do it ourselves, but Paul says when you stand firm in the Lord. What does that mean? That means asking God for help to help you stand firm. Here's a reality check. We tend to think, don't we? I do sometimes, that when we go through tough stuff and have lots of questions, what do we sometimes think? We think, number one, maybe God's mad at us. Has anyone ever thought that? God's mad at me, that's why I'm going through stuff. We may think this, maybe I've done something wrong. Maybe we think this, we're the only one going through this. Now, can all those things possibly be true? I suppose possibly. But the fact is, some of the stuff we go through as young people isn't going to be because God's mad at us. He's not. It's not because we've done something wrong. We haven't. But because stuff happens in our life, we don't have the answers. But until we get those answers, or when we get those answers, until that time comes, the best thing we can do is just stand firm. Here's what I want you to do. In 20 years from right now, 20 years, let's make it 25 years. Some of you may be married. Some of you may have kids. Possibly. I'm just spitballing here. Maybe. Now, if you're not, this, you're not second class. I'm just making an example here. One of the best things that can ever happen in your life is if that is your category and you do have a family and you do have kids, that they are at momentum and you are too. You know why? Because you're standing on what you know. There's something when questions come about, instead of focusing on what you don't know, let God know, here's what I do believe and what I've been taught and what I have internalized, and this is where I stand. John chapter 16 says this. There's coming a time, the hour is coming. Indeed, Jesus is saying these words, indeed it has come when you, disciples, followers of mine, will be scattered, each one to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. Verse 33, John 16. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. Next phrase, in the world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. That's a hard one to preach. I'd love to preach that God comes and everything's perfect. But we know that's not true, right? We know that's not true. When it comes trouble, when the trouble comes that Jesus said would come, yes, to believers, just stand. Stand. When you get into a service and you don't feel like worshiping God because the troubles and the questions are swirling in your life, worship God anyway. Why? Because you're going to stand on what you know. Stand firm. Here's something else that's important to remember. Paul goes on to write that there was an issue in the same church he was talking to. He said, stand firm. Your citizenship is in heaven, so stand firm. But there was an issue going on. He addressed it full face. He said to two people in the church, he said, there's an issue going on with a person named Euodia and Syntyche. Here's the second point, and I'll get to them in a minute. Second point is this. Adversity, trouble is going to come, but drama doesn't have to. Amen. Amen. Now, here's a question I want you to think of and consider for a moment, too. Have you ever got sideways with someone else? You know, they said this and you say this and they get sideways. Let's be honest. Let's not keep it hidden. How many of you, just be honest, I'll raise my hand because I've been married, right? My wife's raising both hands. How many of you have ever, the Spirit's all over her right now. How many of you have ever gotten sideways with one of your friends? Raise your hand. Sure. Don't do this. Just raise your hand. Okay, put your hand down. Isn't it comforting to know that happened in the first century? They weren't super women and super men. The Apostle Paul, when he said, hey, your citizenship is in heaven, so when the questions come, stand strong. And by the way, you two ladies called Eutychus and Syntyche, someone tell them to settle the disagreement. There was something going on with two of these ladies in this Philippian church. They were getting sideways, and it was affecting the rest of the people. And so Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, now I appeal to you. He's saying, I'm begging you, Eutychia and Syntyche, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. I ask you, my true partner, he's speaking to someone that travels with him, go help these two women. They've worked alongside of me. Help them settle their disagreement. Let me just say it this way. Our youth groups are too important for us to get sideways with one another. Amen. What we're working for in this life that we call living for Jesus is too important for us to carry grudges with one another. Let's settle the issue. Do we have to think the same way? No. Do we have to necessarily even agree? No. But we don't allow our drama to affect the whole. Are you with me on this? Let God speak to you tonight. Maybe there's something you just need to settle. Maybe there isn't, but perhaps there is. Tonight would be the perfect night to settle that. Adversity is going to come, but drama doesn't have to. Eutychia and Syntyche, apparently they were women who some sort of quarrel in the church, and they forgot that everything else was less important than the common ground that God had given them in their faith. And notice Paul was enlisting the help of other people to help them get through that and to reconcile. Why? Because drama always affects the whole. Resilient people, resilient young people, they go through trouble, yes, but they stand firm and they avoid drama. What's the application, Todd? Here's an application. In your youth group, be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. If you see some people who you knew are frustrated with each other and getting sideways with one another, you be the big person and go up and say, listen, we need to just settle this. It's not as important as we're thinking it is. Let's settle the issue. Let's be at peace with one another. Be a peacemaker. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 says, blessing comes with being peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. If you and someone else, even this weekend, are sideways about something, fix it before you leave tonight. Fix it before you leave North Bay. Allow that to settle in your heart. Accountability is so important. Adversity will come. Drama doesn't have to. So how do you then deal with adversity? When you're going through struggle and trouble and questions, how do you deal with that? I love the fact the apostle didn't leave us stranded. Look at verse 6. Don't be anxious about anything, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There's the first thing. Talk to God about it. Don't be anxious. Talk to God about it. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Here's the next thing, Philippians 4. Finally, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about those things. Let your requests be made known to God. Think about good stuff. And then verse 9, what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul said, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I love that the Apostle Paul reminds us and teaches us how to get through adversity. Look at these verses that follow, and I want to wrap up quickly in a second, but don't miss this these next two verses. He said, I'm not speaking to the Philippians. I'm not speaking because I haven't been in need. But I've learned that in whatever situation I am in, to be content. And then he says this, I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In every circumstance, I have the secret, learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Then verse 13, perhaps one of the most famous scriptures in all of the Bible that maybe we misunderstand. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Look at this next slide. It gives us exactly what he means. What does he mean, I can do all things through? Does that mean like, see me roar, I can do anything? No. I can do all things. What? I can do all things. I can be brought low and still have the Lord next to me. Keep reading. I know how to abound and be content. I know the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need and be content and be okay with that. I can do all things through Christ. I can stand firm in the Lord. I can do all of these things, be all of those things in the state that I don't even have all the questions answered yet, but I can be content in all of it. Why? Because God gives me strength through Jesus Christ. Here's the point I want you to remember. When tough stuff comes, the ability to not freak out, but instead be calm, comes from our connection to Jesus. Questions will come. I said that before. They will. If they haven't yet, they will. You're going to wonder about a lot of things. Adversity will come. Jesus said it would. Trouble will happen. Jesus said it would. But what we do when that trouble comes will determine the trajectory of our life. That's where real resilience comes in. What do, Todd? I stand firm on what I know. I don't allow drama to develop that would move me away from what I'm standing in. And then lastly, I realize that the ability to go through the trouble is based upon my connection to Jesus. What does that practically mean? That means talking to God. God, you've got to give me help. Help me go through what I'm walking through. And God will. I've shared, I think, last year of one of the things in my life that I have questions about that I didn't have about 7 or 8 years ago. I've been typically a healthy guy for most of my adult life. And I think I shared last year that about almost 8 years ago now, 7 or 8 years ago now, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And it caught me out of the blue big time. I wonder why. I had questions of my doctor. He gave me the best medical advice he could. I live near Hopkins, one of the greatest hospitals in the country, if not the world. I go there regularly. But I don't mind telling you, since that time 7 or 8 years ago, I've talked to God a number of times about questions I have about that. God, why? And you know when it comes most home to me? Is right in the morning before I'm heading to work. Every single morning I'm reminded of my questions. You know why? Because I go into our bathroom, in our master bathroom, and I reach up in the medicine cabinet, and I reach for this. Your parents may have one of these. Maybe, I don't know if you do, but this is a pill box, I guess is what they call it. And it's for the week. S, Sunday, M, Monday, all the way through Saturday. And it opens, and you, if you take medicine, you put it in there. And I reach up in the medicine cabinet every morning, and I pull it down, and I open it up, and I look at the same amount in every single day, 5 medicines. Why? 5. 5. Today's Saturday. I took my 5 this morning. Now they're empty. Guess what I get to do when I go home tonight? I get to fill all these back up. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up and go to the same cabinet, pull out the same pillbox, and ask the same question. How does God help us get through our questions? He helps us be resilient in our connection with Him. That's the in Christ. I can do all things through Christ. But don't miss the last verse that we read. Verse 14. It seems like almost a throwaway verse, doesn't it? Here it is. Yet, he said to the Philippian church, it was kind of you to share my trouble. You know what it's about? Getting through resiliently. It's about reaching up and it's about reaching out. My ability to walk through my struggles as an adult, your ability to walk through your struggles comes from your connection to God. I can do all things through Christ. Up and then out. You may not have a pillbox. Music team, come on. You may not have a pillbox, but you have questions. I know you do. How many of you would be willing and honest and courageous to say right now, silently but with a raised hand, Todd, I have something that I wonder about, and I haven't got the answer yet? Raise your hand. Just let me see it for a moment. Would you just keep it up for just a moment longer? Young people and adults. If your hand's up, I just want you to know you're not alone. God brought you here this weekend to reach up and then to reach out. Paul said, thank you, Philippians, for being willing to share in my trouble. That's why I think it's so important to not have drama. Why? Because we need to be able to reach out. So I want to say again, keep your hand up just a moment longer, everybody that had that question, that issue. I just want to say, you're not alone. Let me have your hand. My hand's cold, sorry.
It's okay.
You're not alone. You're not. You're not alone. We reach across, right? We reach out. You're not alone. You're not alone. God knows. You're not alone, brother. Not alone. I'm going to sit down by you. You're not alone. Not alone. Not alone, man. Up. Not alone. Not alone. Lots of questions, huh? Yeah, I get it. Me too. Not alone, man. Not alone. Keep taking the pills. Not alone. Not alone. I'm missing people I know. But reach out. Oh, I wish right now you'd just close your eyes for a second and literally, would you please reach out to people next to you? Take them by the hand. Come on, everybody. Take them by the hand. It was so good that you shared in my trouble, Paul said. My strength comes from the Lord. I can do all things through Christ. I know how to abound. I know how to be abased. I know all the how I can do all those things. It's through my connection in Jesus, in Christ. But Philippians, thank you for being concerned about what I'm walking through and sharing in my trouble. We reach up and we reach out. And the resilience comes because we reach out and we connect to God as well. I want you with your hands lifted or connected to someone next to you just for a moment longer. I want to pray for you. Lord, please come close to us, Lord. Please, Lord, come close. You said the peace of God, Lord, that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds. Please, God, bring your peace to us tonight. As we're reaching up to you, as we're reaching out to our friends, bring your peace into our trouble, into our questions, into our adversity, Lord. Help us. I pray, Lord Jesus, that those that are walking through very difficult things, even this weekend, they're hesitant even perhaps to go back into those things. Lord, give them something in this moment, in tomorrow, that helps them to connect with you in a strong way, Lord, and then reach out to their friends who can support them. Give them the resilience they need, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand with me, everybody? There's a song that says, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are things. For from you are all things. And to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Everyone sing together. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. That sounds beautiful. Sing it again, everybody together. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. I don't know if I'm on. I think I am. If a second ago you raised your hand as a need that you have in your life and the struggles you're walking through, and it's real stuff. It's real stuff. Lots of questions. And you reached out and you made a connection with someone next to you, up and out. I'd like you to do one more thing. I'd like you, if you would, and we're going to make room here in the front, but I'd like you just courageously, not because you have it all together, but on the contrary, you don't. That's why you just want to take a moment and just gather in the front here with me, and I wish you would, and I'd love to take just a second and
I'll walk down the line and just pray with each of you just for a moment. We got some other women and men who are, they'll gladly come and join us here in the front and just spend a moment of connection and a moment of lifting up. I don't want you to miss this opportunity. I'm putting myself in the middle of it as well. I need God. I need his help. I've got questions. I don't have the answers for them, but I want to stand firm. I want to be resilient. So if that's you, I would like you, without hesitation, step out from where you're at right now. If you need someone to come with you that you held their hand a minute ago and that would help you get down here, come on with them. Just come on. Just move all the way as close as you can to the front. Thank you for coming. I appreciate that so much. I'm going to ask our elders that are here, our pastors, our youth leaders and workers, teams. I'm going to ask you to come. And if you want to even just join me here on the platform so we can be among as many people as possible. As we pray, I want us just every heart, every life touched, asking God to help us. Would you do that? Let's allow God to make this a sacred space just for the next few moments. We're not working anything up. We're not trying to manipulate. We're just saying, God, we need you to come close. We need you to be a part of our life. We need you to walk through this with us, Lord. We'd love the answers to come. That's our preference, Lord, but we're just submitting to you and connecting with you. As we do that, we can know how to be content in where we are, and we're doing that together with people around us. Our worship team is going to keep singing that song. It's just a worship and a praise to God. If you have a friend up here that's praying and talking to the Lord, you want to come and be with them and just move in and support them, would you do that? Let's sing together. Let's pray together. And let's just spend a few more moments together in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing it together with us, worship team. Yeah, sing it. We're worthy of it all, God. You're worthy of it all. Everyone, lift up your voice and sing and pray. From you are all things, and by you are all things, Lord. Yes, God.